Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, January 23rd, 2012. I hear a little playback of my jingle. No problem. It'll straighten itself out in a few minutes. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show is being brought to you by A Book in 90 Days, and I'm going to pause for a few minutes to cut out this feedback, so hang with me for a few minutes. Okay, I'm back. So, again, I'm Flora Brown, your host, coming to you from Anaheim, California. In a moment, we're going to begin today's episode, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book Fast. Today's show is being brought to you by A Book in 90 Days, the personalized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers. We help you get your message to a larger audience where you can transform more lives, especially your own. Transformation begins at www.abookin90days.com. I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners, whether you're listening live on the phone or you on the website. I see some of you are over in the chat room. Some of you are listening to this show after the fact from our archives. In any case, I'm honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that because on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. If you click the follow button, you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email each week to remind you of the upcoming episodes. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from many fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, wealth creation, career, parenting, change, adversity, you name it. We talk about all those things that lead to happiness. Now, today's episode, I am going to be sharing with you how to write your nonfiction book fast. The number of aspiring authors is growing out there as entrepreneurs, coaches, speakers, and other professionals discover that writing a book increases their credibility and visibility. Now, as their eagerness increases, their patience decreases, and therefore many are looking for ways to get their books written fast. Now, on and off the internet, there are many classes, retreats, webinars that promise to show you how to write a book in incredibly shorter and shorter amounts of time. I've seen programs that say 28 days, my program is 90 days, some say 5 days, some say a weekend, and so on. Now, you might be wondering, how can this be? How, what does it take to write a book fast? Well, let me first point out to you that we're talking here about a nonfiction book, not a novel. So we're not talking Shakespeare or Stephen King. For entrepreneurs, a nonfiction book is an information product. Now, it may contain stories, illustrations, and certainly we want your book to be engaging. But its purpose is to share your expertise, to present strategies, to offer encouragement to your readers, and to inspire them to take action. In the process, of course, you are showcasing your expertise, and that is going to help bring clients to your business. This information product that you create, then called a book, attracts leads, it increases sales, and it's going to have a big impact on your business. Now, why do you need to write it fast? Well, the first hurdle in writing any book is to finish the rough draft. And getting that done fast is critical to keeping your momentum going and your ideas flowing. It's not uncommon for people to take years to make notes, to reread, to rewrite, and actually never finish their books. I can't tell you in the last few months I have had people come to my workshops who have told me they have literally been writing on their books for years. Now, if your book is an information product, that can be problematic because your information may be stale by the time your book actually hits the market, not to mention the market will have changed a lot. Now, there is some advice out there, of course, that is timeless. I mean, we can think of Think and Grow Rich. There are many books that are timeless. The information in them never really gets old. But with the rapid progress in technology, there's the danger that your information won't be as helpful as it could be by you waiting and waiting and waiting to get it to market. And finally, there's another problem with waiting to write your book or taking a disproportionate amount of time, and that is the readers. The readers that you're going to help with your book are going unserved for as long as it takes you to get your book out there. So if you know that your information is helpful, and it will be if you're sharing your expertise, then why are you making your readers wait? So you want to get it done fast. I hope you have a paper and pen nearby so that you can take notes, because I'm going to be going through 10 important facts you need to know in a few minutes. But before I start those, I want to share with you three things you need to do before you start your book. The first thing is you need to get in the right mindset. And by that I mean whatever it takes to convince your subconscious that you are an author, that you can become an author, that your efforts are going to be well rewarded as an author, you need to get those techniques in place. Now, some people use prayer. Some use meditation, perhaps a mantra. Some people have affirmations. They like to put them on Post-its and stick them all over the bathroom mirror or wherever. It doesn't matter which of these you choose, or maybe a combination. What is important is that you must be able to see yourself as an author in order for you to get started, and definitely in order to keep you going, because there are going to be times when your confidence is going to wane and you're going to need to have this mindset to get you rejuvenated and to get you kick-started, get you back in gear to writing your book. So first thing you need to do is to work on your mindset. The second thing you need to do before you even start is to get help from a coach, a mentor, an accountability buddy, or someone that you will be accountable to, because trying to go it alone doesn't work very well. Even the Lone Ranger, in spite of his name, had a partner. Now, if you're too young to know who I'm talking about, the Lone Ranger was a fictional masked ex-Texas Ranger, and he had his Native American companion, Tonto, and they went around fighting injustice in the old American West. I loved the fact that whenever the Lone Ranger came up with some harebrained scheme, the Tonto always pulled him back in gear with some sensible and practical advice. So you are going to need someone to bounce ideas off, to keep you accountable in order for you to finish. Now, one of my favorite authors is Barbara Sher. Barbara Sher wrote a number of books. Wishcraft is the first one I heard of, Wish, W-I-S-H, craft, and her latest one that I'm aware of, she wrote Refuse to Choose. What she says in her philosophy throughout her books is that isolation is the dream killer. And you need other people. Trying to work in isolation is just very difficult. You need other people to encourage you, to help you, other people to whom you're accountable. And these people are going to ensure that you reach your goal. Now, we're talking, of course, about other people who buy into your dream, support you, and are holding up the best intentions for you. Now, my favorite quote is, "No one becomes somebody without the help of somebody else." And I believe that very strongly. So you want to be sure that you have in place some people who can encourage you, support you, or at least to whom you will be accountable. All successful authors and successful people have coaches and mentors and accountability partners around them. The third thing you need to do is decide what it is you're going to put aside temporarily while you write your book. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you have a full life, like most of us, and you decide to add something new to your life, you know that you're going to have to eliminate something, at least temporarily, in order to focus on your book. If you are a parent, think about what happened when you brought a new baby into the world, into your family. You had to make room for that baby, physical room, mental, psychological, emotional room. And something else perhaps that you were doing in your life before the baby came had to be put on hold or at least had to be modified. So decide what you can put aside so that you can make room for your book. So here, let's go with the 10 ways you can get your nonfiction book written fast. Got your paper and pen ready? Okay. The first one is commit to getting your book completed in whatever time frame you've set. So if you've set 90 days, then you need to look on your calendar and see what date is 90 days away. And write on that calendar, book completed. If it's 10 days, 25, whatever you have set as your goal. Put your family and friends on notice that you won't be available during this time or this segment of time, and then treat it like you would any other job or any other assignment. This means that you're going to have to temporarily drop any non-essentials from your schedule. What are non-essentials? Well, it's like I used to tell my kids when they wanted to watch television, and they'd say, I've got to watch my show. And I would say, your show, so you're the producer or you're the star or exactly what is your affiliation with that show? If you are not affiliated with that show, then it's not your show. You do not have to watch it. And watching it may mean that you're neglecting something in your life. So the same is true with your book. Now, if you went to college and completed any courses, graduated or whatever, you might remember that your teachers gave you assignments. Sometimes those assignments were to write a paper in 10 weeks, or perhaps you had to write a research paper by the last day of class, which in most semesters is about 18 weeks. You got it done somehow. And so this is the same way, except you are the one who are making this assignment to yourself, and you want to treat it like you would a job or any other assignment. Okay, number two. Choose a place to write that is comfortable and conducive to you. Now, for some people, this might be a dedicated room in your house where you can work without distractions. For others, it might be a local library, a coffee shop, wherever you need to work. You do not have to wait until you can get a remote cabin in the woods someplace or until you can escape to a desert island. Now, I do know that some authors do rent hotel rooms, for example. That's what Maya Angelou does, and goes to her hotel room every day like a job, and that's her office to work. I know a novel writer who told me that when she's starting a novel, she checks into a hotel for 3 to 4 days to knock out the basics of her novel to get her rolling. That works great for them, but you don't have to do that. You have to find your place, and it may not be anything like what somebody else does, okay? Number three, decide on the topic about which you're passionate. Now, if you're writing a book about your career, your area of expertise, your business, then you already have a broad topic, but you're going to need to narrow your topic considerably because there are infinite directions you could go with that topic. For example, if you're in the health field and you decide that you want to write about dieting, your ideal diet may be one, for example, that allows people to eat anything they want, but only in certain proportions. Or maybe you've come up with a way that we can eat fast all the fast food we want and continue to maintain our health. Whatever your focus, your angle is, that's what's going to happen with your book. And by the way, let me mention that books on dieting, for example, you would think that there are enough books on dieting, so why should you write another one? Well, while we're speaking, someone is writing another book on dieting because there's an unlimited amount of things you can say and an unlimited amount of tips. So don't be discouraged by the fact that thousands of books are available on Amazon right this minute on dieting because yours is going to offer another angle and an aspect. And as a coach, I help my clients to identify where their book is going to fill the gap in that field. Number four, gather all the information you have on this topic. Now, let me share something with you that happened one day. I was about to give a workshop, and the workshop was how to write a book in 90 days, and about 15 people had shown up, and one guy came over to me and said, okay, can you really write a book in 90 days? And I said, well, let me ask you this. What do you do? And he said, well, I'm a college professor. I teach business. I teach sales and marketing. I said, okay, how long have you been teaching? He said, over 20 years. I said, okay, so in those 20 years, do you think you have written a lot of articles and reports and so forth to help your students and maybe to help your colleagues? He said, oh, yes, I have lots of articles on the topic. And he said, and in addition to that, I just started a center for students who wanted to be leaders in sales. I said, okay. That's how you write a book in 90 days. You have loads of content already in the form of articles. Some of you are coaches. You have blogs. You have reports. Maybe you have speeches. Whatever you already have in your field is the content that you're going to start with. When I wrote my book, Color Your Life Happy, for example, I began with the blog post that I'd already written on that topic about living a happy life and a joyful life. So you take what you already have as your starting point. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to enhance it, but you take all that you already know, all that you've already written, you want to take a look at that and do a major brain dump into your computer, into a recorder, pull that information together, because that's going to be the core of your topic for your book. Number five, decide on your target reader. Now, you think your book might be perfect for everyone, but it'll be far easier to write it if you have a specific group in mind. For example, you may have a book for pet owners. That is way too broad to write a book about taking care of pets for pet owners in general, because there are just so many types of pets. And you want to think about a specific kind of advice that you can give. Perhaps there's a specific kind of pet that you work with in your business in some aspect. For example, a book on diagnosing and nursing your sick pet bird back to health can go into a whole lot more depth and be much more satisfying for your readers who are looking for that exact topic. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, there are going to be fewer people looking for that book on the sick pet bird than there are going to be pet owners. True. But chances are you're going to get many more sales because you have narrowed it down to the people who are eager and ready with money in hand to get a solution to that particular problem. The people who are looking for a solution to raising their pit bull are not going to be looking for your book anyway. So you cannot try to write a book that's going to include those kind of pet owners. Now, once you have this target reader in mind, you have your topics, you're going to be creating an outline for all the key points you want to make. And you even, in this process, are going to create a title. Now, keep in mind, this is going to be a working title. I'm still on point five because your target reader, thinking about who that is going to help you draft the outline and draft your working title. Number six. Expand on each item from the list you made and give as much detail as you can. I often tell my coaching clients to think about each point on your outline as a question and then tell me the answer. How would you answer that question? And again, this is in the rough stages, so this is not perfect. This is just getting it out. Number seven, you want to resist editing what you've written and focus instead on finishing your rough draft. Your job is to finish the rough draft as fast as possible. This is the biggest challenge for all of us. All writers have this problem. We write two chapters, and then tomorrow we come back, and we want to go read those two chapters and edit them before we start chapter three. If you do that back and forth, you will never finish with your book. Each time you come back to your manuscript after a break, whether you've taken a break the same day or it's the next day or a couple of days later, start where you left off. Do not go all the way back to the beginning and read the whole thing. That's the beauty of having that outline. You could look at that outline, see where you are. Okay, you're at chapter three. Start writing chapter three. Do not go back and try to edit the part you've already written. Number eight. Gather the elements that you're going to use in your book to help you convey your message. Now, this is where a coach comes in, very helpful, because sometimes you can't even see the elements that could help you. You want your readers to get a deeper meaning, a more meaningful experience. So as you're writing your book, you want your book to have examples. You want it to have relevant quotes, tips, activities, things that will expand on what you're saying. I'll give you an example from my book. When I was working with my coach on my book, we were talking about what I had included in the chapters. And because he has a couple of sons and I have four children, my children are adults. His were still teenagers. But I was sharing some memories of raising my kids with him, and I told him a story about something that happened. And he said, "Oh, that is great. Put that in your book." And I said, "Well, I have lots of those kinds of stories." He said, "You need to think about putting those in your book, maybe in a little box to the side, put some of those stories." And so I shared with him. I said, "Well, you know, I call those stories happiness flashbacks, because they're the kind of things that when they happen, they may not have been very funny, but when you flash back to them, they are." And so he urged me to put those in my book. So when you go through my book, you'll see little boxes here and there throughout the book called happiness flashbacks. And they were mostly about raising my children or about things that happened in the process of raising the children. Number 9, write your introduction telling the reader what they can expect from your book. Now, your introduction is a promise to your reader. It helps you to refer to it as you write. It also helps the reader to know if they've picked up the right book, because when someone is browsing in a bookstore or even on Amazon, when they're flipping through those pages, they are reading the front, the back cover, the introduction to decide if they have landed on the right book. So your introduction is this promise, and it gives readers an idea of what's going to be covered. Number 10, once you have finished your rough draft, and I mean rough draft, you have gone through either on your word processor or by hand. Some people prefer to write out in longhand on legal pads or whatever. Once you have finished your rough draft, keeping in mind that we know it's rough, we know it has areas that need work, you may even have gaps in there. For example, as I was writing my book, every now and then I would want to include a summary of some research that I knew existed, but I didn't know the exact source, and I couldn't restate that research at that point. So I would just make a space in my manuscript and say, insert research on whatever. And so that meant that when I was completely finished with the rough draft, I would go back then, look up that research, and then I could insert it in there. So when I say rough draft, it means there are going to be gaps, things that you wanted to include, perhaps you could not think of them at that moment, and you left a space for them, made a note to yourself. You want to take that rough draft, and you want to print it off. Print the rough draft, whatever number of pages it is, and sit down with it. Now you're going to read from beginning to end with your red pen, and it's so much better to do this with paper and pen than it is to try to read it on the computer. Trust me, because I'm on the computer a lot, and there are just some things that are better done with paper in hand, and that whole tactile experience makes a difference. So you're going to read your book from beginning to end with your red pen, and you're going to make changes, you're going to make notes in your manuscript and so forth before you turn them over to a professional editor. Yes, you are going to turn your book over to a professional editor when you're all done, but you want your manuscript to be as good as you can make it, given that it's not perfect. It's a long way from perfect at this point, but it is done. Now you have something to work with. Keep in mind that if you were to take your book to a traditional publisher, especially if it's a novel, we're talking nonfiction, but if you wrote a novel, they wouldn't even look at your novel without you submitting the complete manuscript. If you want to get a nonfiction book read by an agent or a traditional publisher, you will need to have at least your first three chapters, 2 to 3 chapters. You will definitely need to have an extensive outline, and you will also need to have a marketing plan in place, because they want to know that you have given deep thought, that this book has the potential to make it to market before they even read it. Now, even though you may be self-publishing your book, you still want to go through the same processes that a traditional publisher goes through, because you want your book to be on equal footing with the rest of the books that are on the market. So you want to do the same thing they have. What does a traditional publisher have? A traditional publisher has people on staff who take care of all of those tasks, such as editor, proofreader, graphic designer, layout person, printer, and so forth. You're going to need that same team. So self-publishing does not mean going it alone. It means gathering your team, and your coach is part of that team to help you pull all of this together. So let me go back and tell you the 10 steps, and then we're going to be winding down, because the real work begins after you finish your rough draft. So don't forget the three things you need to do before you start your book, and that is get in the right mindset, whatever that takes, prayer, meditation, mantra, maybe affirmations, whatever it takes to get you in that frame of mind to see yourself as an author before you get started. You need to do that because you are going to need it throughout the process. Number two, before you even get started, you want to round up a coach, a mentor, an accountability partner, someone that you can talk to, work with on a regular basis. And then number three, I just lost my third point I had here, so let me back up. The third thing you need to do, decide what you're going to put aside. What are you going to get rid of or temporarily suspend in your life while you write your book? Because if you have a busy life like the rest of us, you can't just stick one more big task in it. You're going to have to put something aside. Okay, those are things you need to do before you start. Now, here are the 10 ways you can get your nonfiction book written fast. Number one, commit to getting your book done in whatever time frame you've set. You want to treat it like an appointment, like an assignment, just as you treated your college assignments and at serious things and got them done by the teacher's deadline. Number two, you're going to choose a place to work that's comfortable and conducive to you. It doesn't matter where it is. It's where you are comfortable. And there will be times when you will need to change your place of working. I know periodically I had to do that to give yourself just a change of pace. Number three, decide on the topic about which you're passionate. Now, passion alone will not get you through this process, but it certainly will help keep you going along the way. And when you are thinking about your passionate topic, you are thinking, if you are an entrepreneur or a coach, you're thinking about the subject of your business, but you have to narrow it down to meet a certain target client in order for it to be meaningful. Number four, gather all the information you have on this topic, whether it's articles you've already written, blog posts, and so forth, because these are going to be the start. This is going to be the core of your book. Number five, decide on your target reader. Who are you writing this for? It really is helpful when you are an entrepreneur or a coach to have a specific client in mind or a specific type of client, because chances are you get asked some of the same questions over and over, or you find some of the same challenges over and over. You want to have this person in mind when you begin. Number six, expand on each item from your list in as much detail as possible. And this is the list, the outline you made when you gathered all your data. Number seven, you want to resist editing. And this should be number one through ten, too, because this is the biggest killer that keeps most people from finishing. Resist editing what you've written and focus instead on finishing your rough draft. Number eight, gather the elements that are going to help you convey your message. And that can mean things like illustrations, quotes. Maybe you're going to have scriptural references if you're writing an inspirational book, tips, activities. Maybe you'll need some charts, guides, whatever features are going to help convey your message. Number nine, write your introduction, telling the reader what they can expect from your book. And remember, your introduction is a promise to the reader. It helps your reader to know if they've picked up the right book, and it also helps to keep you on track because you can keep referring back to your introduction as you go. And number 10, now that you've finished your rough draft, then your introduction, you want to print the whole thing off, sit down in a quiet spot with a red pen, read your book from beginning to end. This is where you're going to be making some changes in the margin. You're going to be making notes before you turn it over to your professional editor, not your nephew, your professional editor. Now, by following these 10 steps, you can complete your nonfiction book successfully and in a relatively short period of time. Now the real work begins, because the editing, proofreading, polishing your rough draft, those are things that I strongly recommend that you do with a team of professionals. But before they can do their work, you have to do yours. Now, while they're working on your manuscript that you have turned over to them, you can turn your attention to some of the things that you're going to have to do, some of the decisions you're going to have to make. You definitely need a website. You need your front and back cover of your book. You need your marketing plan in place. And who's printing this book? Maybe you already have that decided. Maybe you don't. Any great coaching program can help you make these decisions and help you find affordable resources. Thank you so much for joining me today. This show was brought to you by A Book in 90 Days, the personalized coaching program for hard-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers. We help you get your message to a larger audience where you can transform more lives, especially your own. Transformation begins at www.abookin90days.com. Thank you for tuning in today. I invite you to join me again next Monday, January 30th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative and exciting show. I'm Flora Brown. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I am going to ask you to have a blessed week and to remember to color your life happy.